right, joining us on KNBR 680, always a pleasure to talk to a veteran sports writer and someone I respect a lot, and it's Art Spander. Art, Giants-Dodgers 2013, this has the makings of the old rivalry again.
Well, I don't know if the rivalry was ever, you know, ever discontinued. Yes, the Giants were bad for a while, and the Dodgers were lousy the last couple of years, but maybe for a man, you and I, of our age, Dodgers-Giants, Red Sox-Yankees, there's certain rivalries that will never end. And, of course, the fact that the Dodgers and Giants were huge rivals in New York, and they both moved west together in 1958, and that was part of O'Malley's plan. He needed another team out here. The Giants were not throwing well. The Dodgers were in Brooklyn, but they came out west together. And, of course, first game, 1958, Seals Stadium. I was in Los Angeles. I was still at UCLA, and I was sort of, you might say, favoring the Dodgers. And the Giants won, I remember, 8-0. Ruben Gomez, and it started off, and there have been beanball wars. Just the fact, L.A., in New York, the two franchises were across the river from each other. And so that really, it was sort of like Cal and Stanford in a way, much closer. But here, as we know, the two major cities in the state, yes, San Jose is part of the Bay Area. San Diego likes to get in there, but you really think Los Angeles and San Francisco, the two great powers and their teams representing them.
Art Spander joins us, a veteran sports writer, a wonderful baseball writer as well. Art, the 60s of Giants-Dodgers, and of course we think of Marichal and Perry and Mays and Cepeda and McCovey and Davenport and Willie Davis, Tommy Davis, Koufax, Drysdale, Padres and all that. Where were you in the 60s to see some of those games, Giants-Dodgers, and what were they like?
Well, I was, I graduated school in 60, and I went in the Army for a little while, and I went to work for UPI, and I was at, fortunately, I was at UPI in 62, excuse me, I got a little allergy problem there, 62, when the Giants beat the Dodgers in the playoff game. Stan Williams hit, I can't remember who he hit, anyway, walked in the go-ahead run. It was, in L.A., it was just tragic. I remember asking Willie Mays, I was a UPI sidebar writer, Willie, what is it like? And he said, this is like 1961 all over again, 1951 all over again, but I know what's happening this time. He was a kid then, and of course, that was another great, we can go back into that, the Dodger-Giant 51, when the Dodgers were 13.5 games ahead in August. The Giants caught them, the shot hit run around the world, with Bobby Thompson, who died a couple of years ago, and Ralph Branca, the man who threw the ball, is still alive. And if you go to AT&T, they put wonderful pictures up, huge blow-ups of that game and Thompson's drive in the left field seats of the Polo Grounds. And, of course, we've all heard Russ Hodges screaming, the Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant. So that's 51. Now here we are, 62 years later, and we're still talking about it, and the rivalry is very much now, I'll get into the 60s in a second, but now with the Dodgers spending billions, it seems like, to try to catch the Giants, who all of a sudden are the team. The Dodgers were the gold team in the West, we know that. They had the beautiful stadium, and they used to say you could eat off the floors at Dodger Stadium. Well, then all of a sudden, I'm looking at Dodger Stadium, and it's three quarters full. Meanwhile, the Giants have become the gold team. So the Dodgers are trying to catch them by spending money, which is the only way. Back to the 60s, and you were mentioning, Mays, to me, the greatest ball player ever, right along with Mickey Mantle, who gets underestimated sometimes because of his bad habits and his drinking and everything, but he was great. But Mays could do everything. The great Bobby Stevens, who wrote for the Chronicle when I worked there, and he wrote one of the great lines ever about an All-Star game. Mays hit the ball, and he said, it was at Milwaukee, the only man who could have caught it, hit it. And that was true. and Mays could just do everything. And he could have had a home run record, really, if he played in a different ballpark and he wanted to have a home run record. He might have had a stolen base record if he wanted to. But he didn't just steal the steal. He stole within the context of what the Giants were trying to do. In those days, in the 60s, the Dodgers had the pitching. They had Koufax and Drysdale, etc., and the Giants had the hitting. And it just sort of frustrated the Giants because, as we know, as we've seen the last couple of years, pitching wins. And it stops hitting, basically. And it's always been the history of baseball. And in football, too, defense wins. So I remember Bob Hunter, who was a writer in L.A., used to call for the L.A. Examiner, called the Giants the Big Boppers of Bridgetown. And, you know, you had Mays and McCovey and Cepeda coming to bat. That was very frightening. But you had to stop the other team. And all basically they had was Marichal and Perry.
Boy, great recollection. I love talking baseball with Art Spander. All right, let's jump ahead now to where we are today. And as you said, the Dodgers spending what looks like billions, and sure, they paid billions to get the club.
Yeah.
But putting it together, a club of all-stars, big names, they still have the Dodger Stadium. But the Giants now, all of a sudden, are a team that gets national recognition wherever they go. They've got great pitching. They've got the great ballpark. This is a little different of Giants-Dodgers for me. Because both ball clubs from day one should contend, but both ball clubs are on top of the world financially.
Yeah, they are. And actually, just expanding that a little bit, Angels and Yankees, all of a sudden, the four really fun teams and the competition, the rivalries, are all in California. And I love that as a native Californian and growing up reading all about how the East is so wonderful. And of course, the populations in the East, and we get very little recognition. Even the Giants last year winning the World Series, as we know, the ratings were poor. People underestimate the Giants because it's not that New York-Boston connection there, sometimes Philadelphia. And the writers travel up and down the East Coast, and all they ever hear about is the East Coast. Well, the Dodgers were good for so long. The Angels got into it, you know, getting Pujols and everything, and it looks like the A's are going to be a decent team. That'll be a lot of fun to have all the baseball power in California. Now, Dodgers-Giants. The Giants have won two out of the last three World Series. I mean, if you're a Giants fan and you went 50-something years and you never thought, oh, can't we win a World Series? And the A's people... When I don't mean the executives, but I mean connected with the club and say, you know, we got four World Series. You've got the splash hits. There was a sign on the Bay as you entered the Bay Bridge. Splash hits versus four World Championships and never win. Well, now the Giants have won two out of the last three. Think of that. In a sport where there's very little consistency because of the change, two out of the last three. Now, that won't be enough for Giants fans, and I don't blame them, but it certainly changes the whole perspective of, hey, we're not down in the dumps anymore. Oh, those guys in L.A., you always think, the movie stars, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Giants have the team, and the Dodgers have to catch them. And unless that Giant pitching fails, I would think they're going to win it again, or at least go by right there.
Well, great to talk baseball on this morning with Art Spander. Exhibition baseball coming up from the Cactus League. Art, no team in the National League has ever won three World Series in 4 years. Really, you look it up. Someone called in last week and said it. It's absolutely true. Has happened in the American League, but not in the National League. National League always had the great pitching. So some great pitching team would put it together and stop that dynasty. Giants have a shot here to do something that no National League team has ever done.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I mean, I don't even look at it that way, and I don't think ballplayers do. I think fans do, and writers do, but what's going on right now? And can you win that game? And, of course, big question, who is Tim Lincecum? Is he the Tim Lincecum of 3-4 years ago? He's the guy who pitched in the World Series in postseason, or he's the guy who was flubbering around there in the middle of the season? He's going to be so important, and obviously Matt Cain's there, and Vogelsong, and right. And then another thing, how sports changed. A year ago, Zito was hated. Now Zito is loved. The most popular guy. And what a great story, you know, nearly the end of his career. Here he's going to start the Giant home opener. And I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful bit of how sports changes, how you should never give up. You can go up and down and up and down. And I'll tell you one thing. Through all of his travail and all the problems and people saying, oh, the $127 million he cost the Giants, he's a bum, he was a gentleman all the way. And even though I don't root for teams as a journalist, I root for people. And I was so happy to see Gary Zito succeed in the postseason. It just sort of, you say, see, there's good in the world after all.
Art Spander, Barry Zito, and about 3.5 million other people rooting for him to do well, and he really came through. Art, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to have you on. As I said, you have a great perspective. You've been in the game a long time and always enjoy talking baseball with you. So thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anytime. And, boy, there's nothing like spring to make us think of, here's the season coming.
All right. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.